Good to have you back as we continue with Eric Nesbitt. He is the Republican leader of the Senate in Michigan. Now the minority party, first time in a long time, down 20 to 18, but enough that it's close enough that I think a lot of things can happen, Eric, because I don't think, I mean, look, a lot of these seats were really close. So when you get back to thinking about re-election, I think the Democrats on the other side of the aisle will be mindful of the fact that some of these races were really tight. You started talking about Kevin's Law, and we're talking about the mental health institution that was supposed to be in Tuscola County that got shut down. If we believe in mental health, and that really is a bipartisan issue, and we want to talk about the damage done by locking kids in their rooms and virtual learning and the increase of drug addiction and overdoses from fentanyl and so forth, shouldn't we be focused on opening facilities like the one in Tuscola County and not pulling the plug, or did I miss something?
No, you're absolutely right. A few years ago, they were modernizing and updating the facility that's been there for decades and providing, you know, good mental health services. And this is some of the more severe cases where, these are patients that stay on site. And they were under the last year, Governor Snyder, they appropriated, I think it was $115 million to do a modernization of the facility that provides services for really kind of the south, you know, in the northeast part of the state, you know, whether it's Flint, the Tri-Cities area, Thumb,
right.
North Metro area. And the governor and the disgraced Director Gordon came in, you know, the former director that really started a lot of the shutdowns and really bungled a lot of the efforts, that he came in and pulled the plug. And the best answers I could get is that they didn't want it in a rural area. They didn't want that access, which was, you know, again, kind of, you know, Cairo. It's Cairo's not too far away from, you know, Flint or, you know, the Tri-Cities. I think they wanted to put it elsewhere. But again, I'm not sure why the services and the people that were providing those services, why they wanted to pull the plug on it. And the best I could say is that they wanted to put it in a Democrat area instead of a Republican area.
Yeah. So should mental health be predicated on the politics of the day?
I would hope. I sure would hope. Now, traditionally, mental health services, mental health ability, I mean, these are folks that unfortunately can't take care of themselves a lot of times. Again, there's different levels of mental health. Some can live independently with very limited services, and some need 24/7, you know, services.
Yeah.
And so I think it needs to be a nonpartisan issue where we figure out how to provide those services in the best way. And that's something where last year, trying to work on a nonpartisan plan to provide integration of mental health services with physical health services, so that you trying to work on more one-stop shopping instead of having, you know, instead of separating out physical health from behavioral health.
Yeah. Let me go back to one other thing before I let you go, and that is these safe storage laws back to, because that's where a lot of these conversations rotate around, obviously, around gun ownership and red flag laws. But safe storage is something else that concerns me insofar as, look, if somebody breaks into my house and commits a crime, steals a gun from mine that was in my nightstand, and then they come back on me and say, well, the gun wasn't properly stored and it was stolen and therefore a crime was committed. I mean, this is the kind of thing that really, really concerns people like me.
Well, I remind folks that I think a good step that I think, you know, that folks would support, let's take the sales and use tax off from gun cabinets and some of those safety devices for firearms. Why are we providing, taxing those items? And I think, you know, whether it's gun cabinets or whether it's trigger locks or other things, that that's probably something that Republicans and Democrats could get behind to make it more accessible and more affordable for folks. Let's do it, you know, step that way. I have two young kids. I have, and it's something where I want to make sure that my firearms are stored safely, but they're also want to make sure that they're accessible in case I have to protect the family.
Well, absolutely.
And I think it's trying to find that balance. And growing up on a family farm like I did, I mean, we grew up with guns. You know, we had the gun cabinet in the milk house. But since I was a young age, 8, 9, you know, you learned how to, handle and utilize, firearms in an appropriate, responsible, manner, safe manner. I mean, when you're walking over a fence, always pointing the barrel away from any other, individuals, and creating that responsibility, whether you're hunting or target shooting. And it's trying to create that responsible culture instead of, instead of one where everybody's an enemy.
Yeah. I think that somebody should also take a moment and explain to people the hunting part is all fine and well, but the people coming back from Lexington and Concord weren't coming home from deer camp. They were coming home from shooting the British. And the Second Amendment is about defending ourselves, not deer hunting. Eric, I greatly appreciate you taking the time today. A lot to talk about. Obviously, there's a progressive agenda that's going to take hold. The question is, how far does it go? And what can you do about it and your colleagues? I'll give you the last word.
Well, this is the thing, is that even Governor Whitmer said in December that they don't have a mandate in the legislature. They only have a one-seat majority in the Senate, a one-seat majority in the House. And you're right, it was only 400 votes and one seat out of 130,000 where the Democrats were able to get a majority. It would have been a tied chamber at 1919 otherwise. And then in the state House, there was, I think, six Democrat seats that were within a few points. And so if the Democrats decide to do the Nancy Pelosi far-left ram and jam agenda of trying to implement it, I think they're going to suffer some serious losses next year. Yeah. And if they try to change lists such as this rollback in income taxes, that's going to be a tax increase on all Michiganders. And it reminds me of 40 years ago when two Macomb County senators voted for the Blanchard income tax increase, and that flipped the Senate to Republicans. And so let's
be careful what you wish for.
Yep, Michigan's a purple state, and yeah. We'll defend our rights and freedoms and liberties, and we'll work with them in ways to, if they want to wish to balance budgets and pay down debt and improve education, if they want to limit our freedom and increase taxes, we're going to fight them tooth and nail.
Eric Nesbitt, Senate Republican leader in Michigan. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
We represent the bakers, auto repair shops, manufacturers, small business owners. Our job is to help businesses succeed by giving them a voice against restrictive regulations and overreaching government. Our commitment is to create and promote good public policy that will restore a strong, healthy economy. Our focus is being your champion for free enterprise. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.
Peppers from Argentina, blueberries from Canada, and corn from Mexico. What are we doing? It's time to wake up, America, support our family farmers, and defend our nation against an invasion of foreign food. It's time you support Patriot Foods. Patriot Foods is an American-only produce brand supporting U.S. farms and donating a portion of every purchase to U.S. veterans. Join the movement to buy American and eat American. Go to patriotfoods.com. Patriot Foods will even ship your order for free. Patriotfoods.com. PatriotFoods.com.